to Syria. A long-awaited United Nations report delivers no surprises about chemical weapons.
This is a war crime and grave violation of the 1925 protocol and other rules of international law.
The voice of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon speaking about the attack last month that began the latest international crisis. It's the first official confirmation by scientific experts that chemical weapons have been used in Syria. In the meantime, negotiations over international action have drawn in an unlikely group of international players: the U.S., France, Britain, Russia, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, all at the table with others weighing in as well. Can these players actually agree on a coherent course of action? We're joined by Robin Wright, distinguished scholar at the Wilson Center in Washington and the U.S. Institute of Peace. She's the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. Welcome back, Robin.
Hi, John. Always great to be with you.
You know, let's explore the different interests between, say, the United States and Britain and a Turkey and a Saudi Arabia. Could we begin with Turkey?
Well, Turkey faces a real challenge on a number of layers. First of all, it's taken in almost 500,000 refugees from Syria already. And so this is a physical, logistical burden, financial burden on Turkey. But it also reflects a real change in the attitude of the whole region about President Assad. Prime Minister Erdogan and President Assad once went on vacation with their families together. Mm. They were actually very close. Turkey had significant commercial interests. But after the uprising began, Turkey really distanced itself quickly and was one of the leading voices saying Assad no longer had legitimacy. And so politically, this was a critical turning point that also, I think, gave heft to the international community, gave them a sense that this was a moment that the world needed to take a common stand. And Prime Minister Erdogan's been arguably the most important regional player so far.
Although because of that refugee problem that is a physical, tangible crisis in Turkey, a simple sort of punishment of Assad and dealing only with the chemical weapons changes nothing on the ground if the civil war continues, right?
Exactly. And I think the outside world is sighing with relief that there's no military strike, but losing sight of the longer term gain and the fact that nothing really changes on the ground. And in fact, even while we're all focusing on the chemical weapons report, the fact is something like 1,000 people have died in the past 2 weeks in Syria as a result, as the war has actually escalated. And the process that's been outlined does nothing so far to deal with this very tough reality.
Does it make sense that the Saudi Arabians seem to be supporting the generals in Egypt and the opposition in Syria?
Isn't it wild? There's a real realignment of forces in the region. Look, the Gulf countries are not very happy with Assad. They really feel that he has betrayed his people, ironically. But the issue is less democracy. The Gulf countries have been supporting some of the rebel fighters, reportedly providing both financial support and paying for weaponry. And Saudi Arabia, Qatar, although they're supporting different wings of the opposition, have been instrumental in ways that the United States and its European allies have not wanted to play.
And again, the Saudis are in it for the long haul. They're not necessarily just involved in some sort of punishment for Assad. Let's move to the Russians now. Of course, there's a division between Russia and the United States on the wording of any sort of Security Council resolution regarding actual military action. But what's the long-term Russian play here? I've heard reports from Moscow that Syria has an emotional attachment to Russia, not unlike what Cuba once had during the Cold War, and that that Russia will not sell out Assad.
Yes, I think that's part of it. Look, they have quite tangible connections, whether it's the Russians selling them arms. Syria has been Russia's most important ally dating back to the days of the Soviet Union in the Arab world. Russia uses a Syrian port, its only access to the Mediterranean. But there are more political issues that are also at stake in Syria. A senior Russian official once told me that the outside world didn't understand that it was not just about money and arms and diplomatic ties. It was really a political domestic issue for the Russians. They have a restive Muslim population. The Soviet Union had been one of the five largest Muslim countries. It shed its largest Muslim areas, but it still has a significant population. But Russia, more importantly, doesn't like the precedent that was established in Libya that allows the outside world to decide when they use force in support of an opposition, which plays out not only for some of its allies, but also might set a precedent that could apply because of the demonstrations that have gone on against Putin in Russia.
And raise the profile of Putin in the region, to be sure. Robin Wright, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Robin Wright is distinguished scholar at the Wilson Center in Washington and the U.S. Institute of Peace, author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.